The first thing that really has to be said is that the problem of bullying should be taken extremely seriously. Sometimes managers don't pay attention to bullying until it results in a real crisis. They somehow expect that it will just blow over. Ideally, though, it's best to react quickly and nip this type of behaviour in the bud, because it can have very real and negative impact on morale, sometimes even causing good staff to resign. It affects motivation, productivity, and ultimately your bottom line. Transferring the bullies elsewhere only moves the problem to another department. And unless the company is huge, the victim will probably continue to suffer, though probably a little less. It also looks like an admission that the team leader has also been intimidated, and the problem remains. Likewise, getting rid of a team member who has key knowledge about your business may put the team in jeopardy. So dismissing the instigator is not always a good first option. Best to try to solve it differently. In any case, there's no guarantee that the others won't continue to bully, though perhaps more discreetly and underhandedly, particularly as they may perceive the dismissal of their friend and colleague as the victim's fault. While getting help to the victim seems like a comforting gesture and a mark of support for her, it also seems to put the onus for change on the bullied person as opposed to the bullies. No, there's only one thing for it, and that is to confront the bullies and insist on them changing their behaviour. It's a good idea to issue a written warning when there has been a pattern of bad behaviour, as in this situation, whereas a verbal warning is usually enough in isolated acts of rudeness or intimidation. It's also important to communicate with HR about the problem employees and perhaps include them in the meeting with the bullies. Before the meeting, do some planning to determine what outcomes you expect and what explicit behaviour you expect, and decide how the bullies will be held accountable if things don't change. While talking to them, you must be direct, but not emotional or confrontational. Be specific about behaviour. Say things like, you called so-and-so an idiot. You said so-and-so was incompetent. Be clear that the behaviour must stop, regardless of motive or reason. For key staff members like these, it would be worth considering offering coaching, counselling or anger management, but these only work if the people involved have the ability and desire to change. Before leaving this meeting, set a date for another one to discuss progress on behaviour. If nothing changes, follow through on accountability outcomes. These could include redistribution of team roles and reduction or suppression of bonuses. To protect yourself legally, give a warning and systematically document the bullying behaviour. If the bullying continues in the long run, you may need to consider finding a legal way of parting company with the bullies. Keeping them will cost you too much, and in a business like Arcadia, where all work is done in close-knit teams, the whole staff will suffer from the present toxic atmosphere. The best way to avoid bullying in the first place is to have a clear and written policy about acceptable behaviour in the company. Managers can lead by example in this respect. They can encourage open communication and show respect for their subordinates. If they see someone behaving inappropriately, say, like putting someone down at a meeting, the manager should pull the person aside privately after the meeting and tell them that this sort of intimidation just isn't tolerated in the company. Getting teams together and asking all the members to come up with at least one expected behaviour from the other members is an excellent start. Then identify the most critical behaviours and make a list that all members must respect. From then on, you can refer to this list as your policy on acceptable behaviour, and you can point out to potential troublemakers that certain behaviours are inconsistent with company culture.